Chapter 13. I tore my eyes open after the fifth attempt to meditate back to my body didn't work, and I was still in the clearing with the stone altar where I'd last seen young Mech.
"What gives?"
I yelled up at the uncaring sky.
"I'd really like to get out of here now."
I huffed when I predictably got no answer and then stood up. There must have been something I was missing about this, and I only needed to think about things logically. What did I know? I could leave the Dark Realm by willing myself back, or if I had a cool son with Dark Realm superpowers with me. The thought of calling for Rylan again entered my mind, but when I recalled how washed out and transparent he looked, even in his canterfly form, I still held off. There had to be a way back. Avantol wouldn't give me this new power and then strand me here. Would she? No. It was something obvious. I knew it was. Maybe if I retraced my steps? It was a start, and I headed back into the forest between the circular clearings until I came across the tar pit and the abyss. The tree where I'd hidden the stag beetle blade was still there, and so was the blade itself when I peered inside the hollow. Before I'd heard Mech's distressed muttering, I'd planned on plunking down right next to the tree in order to meditate. But now something stopped me. This clearing, like the last one I was in, was tied to a very specific time that was clearly not the time I was currently from. If that was the case, maybe my current timeline was connected to the clearing I'd started out in. I felt like this idea was the most solid, given the limited knowledge I had on all things timey-wimey. From there, it was just a process of retracing the destruction the stag beetle left behind to get back to the clearing where Maz and I first started out. "Here goes nothing," I said, as I sat back down and bullied my way into another meditation session. Only to rise through the depths of my unconsciousness like a submersible, heedless of how fast it was going until I was practically ejected from the murky sea of the Dark Realm.
"Oh, goddess, he's alive!"
Someone, Thass maybe, exclaimed when I groaned. Something heavy was on my chest and leaving a damp patch over my sternum. But when I twitched, the pressure lifted with a gasp.
"Alex?"
Zoe was by my head, and when I finally opened my eyes, her upside-down visage was the first thing I saw.
"Hello, gorgeous," I croaked out in a rusty voice.
"Give him some water,"
Siskern said, like a proper mother hen, and seeing him fuss was amusing.
"I'm fine, Siskern, really," I said, as I took the water skein he practically shoved into my hands.
But the raptor man wouldn't unpin me from his fierce gaze until I took a sip of the water. And then, before I knew it, I was guzzling nearly the whole thing. The raptor man was temporarily appeased, but then he turned his ire onto the young blue-haired girl, who was still dabbing at her eyes and sniffling pitifully.
"You!" the regent snapped. "You are incredibly lucky my friend was not harmed by whatever insolent stunt you pulled, witch!"
I'm sorry,"
she said, and more tears cascaded down her light green cheeks as she turned to me.
"When I got back, I tried my hardest to undo what I did."
"What did you try to do?" I asked with a curious tilt of my head.
"There were tears inside your mind,"
the Terran girl attempted to explain, even though her frown told me how inadequate she found her words to be.
"I think that's how I managed to fall into the Dark Realm with you. So I tried to go in and pull you out through the holes, but instead of you coming out, it's like the tears turned themselves inside out and they sealed me out again. But I really did try to come back for you."
I eyed the troublemaker with a shrewd look. "Now why would you ever do such a thing as that?"
"You saved me when I did something horrible to you,"
she murmured, as Captain Tharfin's large hand came to rest on one of her thin shoulders.
"Mozzie,"
he said in his deep voice, and waited until she looked up at him.
"What you've been doing is not okay. You've put several people at risk. How long have you been back after you vowed to desert us?"
"I never left,"
she confessed, and returned her gaze to the ground.
"And I'm terribly sorry.
I know you are, but that still doesn't make up for the destruction you've wrought on our people, Tharfin said. You need to head back to our lodge, young lady, and we will discuss your punishment later.
Yes, uncle,
she whispered, and sent me one more regretful look before she left to do what the captain said. After she departed with Thas, the dome-headed man turned back to me.
Ambassador, are you truly well?
He asked with a concerned frown marring his brow. I took stock of myself before answering right away. In reality, I felt fit enough to run 5 miles without breaking a sweat if I wanted to. The overload of meditation did me well, and as annoying as it was at the time, at least the failed attempt at trying to zap myself back to my body didn't go to waste. I feel fantastic, I answered, and then I climbed to my feet so I could do a 360. See? Perfectly intact. And also, I'm super clear-headed. And I need to have a meeting with you and your top able-bodied men, like hasta pronto. When will you be ready?
The men you see before you are my trusted sergeants, Tharfin said, as he straightened his spine. We can be ready for you in the miners' mess immediately when we get back to the town square.
Excellent, I said. And then I did a double take at the smoldering remains of what used to be the grain silo. Was anything salvageable from that?
It doesn't appear so,
he sighed and pursed his lips together. No worries, I dismissed. Tharfin nodded and then ordered the men milling around to finish up their work with the burned storage bin.
Alex, are you sure you're well?
Zoe finally got a chance to ask as we joined some of the other townsfolk on our way back to the square. I really am okay, kitten, I said. I think I just realized how much we need to get out of here.
Alex?
Amaya chimed, and she finally came up to me now that the crowd had dispersed. The Oryx woman wrung her hands together and shifted on her feet, and I realized she'd probably been wanting to do this ever since I collapsed. Come here, I gestured. Come check me out and make sure I'm okay. Amaya hurried up to me as if she'd been trying to contain the urge to sprint up to me and do just that the second I woke up. Her warm palms cupped my face, and her forehead pressed into mine as she sighed in relief. I closed my eyes and let her soothing touch wash over me, and I couldn't help but turn into her caress as if it had been ages since I'd last felt it, which, in reality, was a little bit true. It had been ages. It seemed as if my time in the Dark Realm passed differently, because what seemed like hours and hours for me was apparently only a few minutes topside. I knew there was some temporal displacement in the Dark Realm, and meditation tended to throw off my internal clock, but this felt a bit more significant. I made sure to mentally dog-ear that little detail for any time I experienced the urge to travel through the in-between, which was hopefully not very often, thank you very much.
Mars did what she said,
came Amaya's assessment as she lowered her hands back to her sides and stepped back.
There is something like a scar over the wound I'm not sure will ever go away, but it is no longer festering. Maybe once Shay returns to us, she might be able to lend her healing touch.
Shay. Oh, my heart stung, and I felt like my body was missing a limb.
That will be a most welcome reunion,
Zoe said, with the same amount of fervor I felt. All the more reason why I think it's time we left Lower Tear, I added, and then the three of us made our way to the miners' mess hall arm in arm as we chatted idly. The door closed behind us with an unexpected boom, and whatever non-essential thing I happened to be in the middle of trying to tell Zoe was forgotten at the dead silence that followed. The eyes of Siskern, Tharfin, and about 20 to 30 men stared at us when we walked in, and I cleared my throat as I scanned the faces in the crowd. About a half dozen men were familiar to me, since they were the ones I made it back from the hunting trip with. They were a loyal group, but the camaraderie was never with me or Regent Siskern. We were very much treated as outsiders, or completely ignored. All cordially, of course. But the atmosphere wasn't exactly easy or uneasy. Now, however, the intense looks sent my way seemed like they were on a spectrum anywhere from vaguely curious,
all the way to malicious intent.
"Now that the ambassador is here, maybe he can answer for himself."
A lizard man with striking black and yellow stripes on his skin stood up from one of the long tables. More than half the mess hall murmured their agreement. Whatever group conference I'd walked in on was obviously about me. And when I glanced at Tharfin, I nearly rolled my eyes, since he merely blinked at me with his arms crossed over his chest. Stoic bastard. I guess I knew where Thass got it from. Even though it was a little annoying that he was absolutely no help, I took the slight nod he gave me as permission to command the room and address his people. I nodded back respectfully, whispered for Zoe and Amaya to find a seat with Siskern, and then clapped my hands to get the attention of the room. "Hello," I said, and I took it upon myself to just get up onto one of the tables like it was my podium. "Hi, yes. I'm Alex, and I know it would be rude of me to assume you'll listen to anything I have to say when you don't know me. So, I will answer your questions. What would you like to ask me?" The brightly colored lizard man blinked his green eyes and opened and closed his mouth a few times like he was surprised it was that easy.
"From where do you hail?"
someone else piped up. "Good question," I said as I searched for the source of the voice. What is your name?"
"Sergeant Cestus, third rank."
Another lizard man with blue markings stood up from the table across from me. "I'm from Nada Isle," I replied to his question, and the man sat back down.
"Are you a spy for the upper echelon?"
the yellow-faced man asked. "Name?" I asked back. "In fact, everyone, please, tell me your names, and ranks if you want, before you ask me your questions. I want to know your names."
"Serik,"
the lizard man hissed, but I couldn't tell if the sound was due to his tone or simply a byproduct of his forked tongue.
"I'm a miner. Second rank. And I want to know if you are a spy."
"No," I said.
"An uppish ally?" Serik pressed.
"I'm an ally to all of Tear," I responded diplomatically.
"That's cheap talk,"
the man yelled.
"Oda!"
Captain Tharfin rumbled from his place at the head table. He still wore that placid and somewhat bored expression on his face. But the lizard man named Serik sat back down.
"Ambassador, my name is Melis, and I am but a humble woodcutter."
An older man with a cane and dark orange scales rose to his feet.
"I want to know if it's true that outsiders sacrifice their young to the sacred fish."
"What? No, I'm pretty sure that's not a real thing." I sent a panicked look to where Siskern, Amaya, and Zoe were all sitting, and all three of them were shaking their heads vehemently. "Definitely not a thing."
"I just want to know what you want with us," a weary voice came from one of the men on the hunting party. "My name is Virtus, and I am also a sergeant, first rank."
"Sergeant Virtus, thank you." I nodded to the man who had double ridges similar to Siskern's on the top of his head. "And the answer to that question is honestly to help you guys. I've already explained to your captain how I think Lower Tear can not only come to an ascension accord with the upper echelon, but you can also be the ones who exert the most control over the agreement."
"Is this true?" Virtus directed the question toward the captain.
"It is, Sergeant."
Tharfin nodded his domed head.
"The ambassador took the time to explain to me how valuable we are to Tear as a whole. And he has even explained to me how we could even be the front runners in opening more trade negotiations with the other isles."
"With more outsiders?"
someone I didn't see gasped.
"How can we trust them?"
Serik once again leapt to his feet.
"He has saved my life as well as the life of my son, and now of my niece,"
Tharfin pointed out.
"But if you will not listen to the word of your captain, then—"
"Your word means nothing as of late, Captain,"
the yellow-striped man spat.
"After all, wasn't it you who left half of us miners down in the lower levels because you refused to evacuate before the cave-in? Cestus and I lost our brother in the devastation."
"Serik!"
The man with the blue stripes tried to pull the other back down, but Serik shook him off.
"It is true, or misjudged, and it led to a needless loss of life.
The captain of the mine stood up like his bones inside were much more brittle than what his strong outer appearance would imply. Then he came over and clasped the two brothers on the shoulders.
"I'm sincerely remorseful that you have lost one of your kin, but nothing can be done about the past. All I can do is try to lead the people of Marntown toward a better way."
"And this outsider duelist scum is the better way?"
the lizard man scoffed, but his voice cracked weakly, and he seemed to slump a little under Tharfin's palm.
"Let's see, shall we? Why don't I ask the questions?"
The captain turned to me and smiled his first genuine smile I'd seen to date.
"Ambassador, is it true you have gone through the lowish trials and have communed with the ancient tree spirit, Snake Tree?"
"It's true, Captain," I confirmed.
"Will you please show us the back of your neck so we can all be sure?"
Tharfin requested. Oh, sure. I didn't know that was a thing, but I lifted the hair at the nape of my neck and turned around slowly so everyone could see whatever it was.
"He bears the mark of the snake,"
someone murmured. I glanced at Tharfin for any type of clue as to what that could mean, and he responded by showing me the back of his own neck. A pale set of circular dots sat side by side just like a snake bite, and when I touched the same place on my skin, I could feel something similar. Huh. Cool.
"Last question, Ambassador," the captain said. "Tell us what the tree spirit demanded of you to sacrifice in order for you to return."
"Oh," I said, and looked down at the lump under my tunic, where my doula stone was hidden from view but not forgotten. So I pulled it out for all to see. "The spirit wanted me to sacrifice my Asher status, and I agreed." Gasps ricocheted around the miners' mess hall before the blue guy, Cestus, spoke up again.
"But Snake Tree did not take the stone like it asked," he clarified.
"No," I said, and let the stone rest back against my chest. "I'm not sure why, but the spirit told me the willingness to give up my power is what saved me." The hall crashed into silence as my words sank in. Of course, I knew it was significant at the time, but seeing the reactions of the lower Terrans made me reassess just how significant. Sarek gazed up at me where I was still standing on the table, and then he climbed up to join me so he could get a good look at my face, followed by my doula stone.
"You really are one of us, aren't you?"
the yellow-striped man remarked, and then he held his hand out. I grinned and clasped his forearm in a solid shake. "I'd like to think so." The atmosphere seemed to shift after this exchange, and the people peering at me were now looking at me with expressions of interest instead of suspicion.
"So, what is it you're thinking, Ambassador?" Sergeant Furtis spoke up. The red ridges on his head seemed to perk up, but his tone still sounded weary and downtrodden, and I wondered if maybe he always sounded like this.
"You must have a plan if you really do believe we can live in harmony with the Uppish."
"I do," I nodded. "And that plan is a mass exodus of Minetown and Snake Tree Village all at once."
"You want us to storm the palace?" Cestus scoffed. "Have you forgotten Upper Terre is full of formidable Ashers?"
I locked eyes with Siskern and asked for silent permission to reveal Upper Terre status. The regent nodded, and I decided to throw my chips all in. "Ashers who have grown too fat and lazy to do anything about an insurrection," I revealed. "For some time now, the upper echelon has been suffering from lack of food due to the Screecher population, and their militia is dwindling. They are deathly afraid of Terran steel due to ore madness, so they will not be able to stop you, especially if you arm yourselves. Additionally, if Terre unanimously decides to open its borders for more trade opportunities, there will be a huge need for laborers, which is you guys, not the Uppish. You hold the biggest advantages." The Terrans amassed and chatted amongst themselves after I explained my standpoint, and I waited patiently for them to come to their own conclusions. I could only hope that they would see reason.
"What say you, Regent?"
the captain finally spoke above the din.
"Can you either confirm or deny what the ambassador says?"
The raptor man rose to his feet and joined me on top of my table so he could address the crowd.
"Ambassador Brightwood speaks the truth," Siskern said. "For a long time, Clan Skeros has been some of the worst perpetrators of this status quo. But my uncle and I have been dedicated to our pursuit of uniting our noble island. And although prejudice is still strong in the upper echelon, Gris is now Asher Lord by proper right."
"And what of the councilman?" Virdis questioned. "You really think he will allow his luxurious way of living to be threatened? I know for a fact he won't even let his Vothan wives join in the ranks of the guard. He is not above threatening us with bringing down the ashes of blood to cull the disobedient."
"Excuse me?"
Siskern asked, as his scaled eyebrows climbed up his forehead. It seemed as if this was news to the regent.
"Councilman Hess has threatened you? When?"
"When has he not?" the red-ridged man said. "Hess makes a trip down to the Lowers at least once a season to remind us of his mercy by making us choose which one of our young we are to cull, as an example of what it could be like if it were the ashes of blood."
"This is the first time I have heard of Hess's dealings with the Loish,"
Siskern said, with a look like he just got sucker-punched in the gut.
"I knew he would take a seasonal humanitarian trip." "What about that beloved uncle of yours?"
Sarek accused, as his temper ratcheted up again.
"The Sentinel had to have sent Hess with his own guard." "The councilman has his own guard," the regent said. "If Gris had known Hess was taking your children, he would have rained Mercedes' holy justice down upon him. Clan Skeros will follow Asher Law and strike those who are corrupt down from their mountains of cruelty."
"Those are pretty words, but they lack substance. And what of your father? Have you forgotten about him?"
Cestus fired at the raptor man with a venomous voice matching his brother from earlier.
"Only the Asher Lord has the power to grant people access between the echelons, so he had to have known what Hess's business was. He very well sanctioned it with his own seal. Where was his nobility for so long?"
"My father succumbed to the twisted agony of having his mind eroded away through no choice of his own,"
Siskern snapped, and his elongated raptor claws gouged the wooden table with a jagged-sounding scrape.
"I am sure if anyone has the capacity to know what it is like to have your mind poisoned against your will, it would be the Loish, who, I might add, are also my kinfolk."
At this, he bared the back of his neck, where his own snake-bite scar sat.
"Bold of you to assume you're anything like us, even with the mock," Virdis said in a cold voice,
and I had the feeling this was suddenly going downhill.
"Ahem,"
I cleared my throat. "First of all, the ashes of blood are not really a thing anymore, so it sounds to me like the councilman is misleading you with false information. From an outside perspective, it seems as if Hess's fear-mongering is being used to control and manipulate you."
"By killing our young?"
The orange-scaled elder from before stood back up with a frown on his wizened brow.
"But why? What does he gain?"
"Aside from pleasure at your suffering?" I grimaced as I rubbed my neck. "I don't know."
"And they fear our sickness down here," Sarek scoffed. "They're the sick ones." "Not all of us,"
Siskern said, and then he straightened his spine.
"Councilman Hess will answer for his crimes. This I can promise all of you. Retribution will be had for the loss of your young."
Something about this declaration seemed to change the raptor man from the inside out, until the somewhat uncertain prince was starting to transform into a proper regent. His voice was deeper and richer due to the steadfast confidence of his conviction. And it appeared as if the rest of the Terrans picked up on it because no one even scoffed.
"The Morn folk will follow you, Regent Siskern of Clan Skeros,"
Captain Tharfin said, in a tone that seemed to put the matter to rest.
"Ambassador, your plan?"
"Well, I hear there's a royal wedding coming up, and I believe the groom of honor will be bringing some extra guests."
I smirked at the raptor man. "The element of surprise is on our side. But in order to make it,
We need to leave as soon as possible. When can everyone be ready?
Sergeant Virtus? Tharfin asked.
We can mobilize as early as tomorrow morning, the red-ridged man reported.
Make sure you talk to Thass, Siskern ordered. We have been working on a prototype of a long-range weapon, and with enough workers, we will be able to make more. He can also teach you how to use it. And before we disband, Alex, may I use one of your blades?
Oh, yeah, sure, I said, and handed him decisiveness from the scabbard I still had on my back.
Captain? Sergeant Virtus?
Siskern said, and gestured for the two men to climb up on the table.
Hold out your hands. By the authority vested in me as the highest-ranked citizen of the Loish, I deem you Major Tharfin and Lieutenant Virtus for your honorable leadership.
Hark!
The whole hall cheered out.
You heard them, men, Virtus barked out. All hands are needed in preparation for the Loish exodus.
More cheering erupted through the hall, and even though Lieutenant Virtus stressed the point that there was a lot to prepare, someone had broken out the mead for a quick, impromptu celebration.
Thass,
I said, and I hopped down off the table as I caught the eye of the bald man.
When did you get here? Did you hear the news?
Also, I think your dad was promoted.
I only just arrived, he said,
and his usually stoic expression looked grimmer than usual.
But there is something I need to show you, and my father, both.